Well, good morning, everybody. How you doing? It is the Morning Disaster on this. What is today? Today's Wednesday. Oh, my. Wednesday, December 18th, 2017. How you doing? It's what is today? It's the Morning Disaster. Okay. I had to remember what the name of the show was. Good Lord, I'm getting old. It is the Morning Disaster. I'm Ray Lytle. Hello, hello. Hello. I hope you're doing good. Phone number is 814-0332, if you like calling it. I know there's a delay, so a lot of you don't hear this for a while. There is also this live show happening on TuneIn Radio. That's what you're listening to, a lot of you. Or maybe you're listening to the Morning Disaster player that's right on the front page of morningdisaster.net. Or if you are an Android user, maybe you downloaded the app. Anyway, we are here. Hello, hello. And I hope you guys are you guys all doing good? Are we doing good? Are we in a good mood today? I hope so. I don't know where Nikki is. She's usually called in by now or Skyped in. Here's the deal with Nikki. And this is something that, forgive me, by the way. And this is something she's been doing. I don't know why she's doing this lately. But she's living in reverse. All right? She's got this life going where she falls asleep during the day. She's like a confused infant. That's right. That's how I'm describing Nikki, a confused infant. She falls asleep during the day. Then at night, she's up all night. Or else she wakes up. She wakes up at like 11 or midnight, you know. Or 1 o'clock, and she's up all night. I mean, she's up, she's futzing around on the computer or the phone, whatever she's doing. She's checking Plenty of Fish. She talks to TJ, who hosts Mayhem Unleashed. She'll get on the phone because he's a truck driver who works overnights. You know, like he drives a truck during the overnight hours. So she'll get on the phone with him. And they'll just bullshit, you know, they'll just BS. And she'll talk to him for an hour or however long. Then she's on Plenty of Fish. Then she's doing all these things. And then around, you know, 7 o'clock, after being up all night long, which is, it's never a good idea to be up all night long, she falls asleep. Right before we do the freaking show, she falls asleep. We moved the show to 9 o'clock. Remember, those of you all longtime listeners, we moved the show to 9 o'clock for Nikki. Oh, by the way, it's January 18th. Al's listening. He said, hey, you said December. It's January. Sorry, Al. Damn, see? This is what I get. Because I don't know where the hell Nikki is. My mind goes. Forgive me. Everybody who decided not to listen thinking it was a repeat. Well, that's wonderful. Yeah, so Nikki falls asleep all night long. Or she's up all night long, and then she falls asleep right before the show starts. And then she wakes up and she feels terrible, right? So when she gets up, which God knows what time it'll be, then she calls me. Oh, I'm sorry. I was so tired. And that's how the day goes. And I tell her, I go, Nikki, you gotta get to sleep. I mean, get some freaking sleep. What do you know? You're in reverse. You can't be up on that. She goes, but I'm not sleepy. And I go, then you got to force yourself up during the day. If you force yourself up during the day, then you will not be tired at night. You will be tired at night. Oh, my God. So anyway, she's not here. I don't know where she is or if she's going to call her, blah, blah, blah. I don't know what's going on. I do know that there are things that I've got to talk about. And I can only wait so long for Nikki to connect. And then I got to move on to things that are happening in this world. For example, I have, it's a new year. So a lot of people are trying to get their lives in order. And many of them, maybe they've been in a company with years. Maybe it's time to ask for a raise. And they need to get, by the way, can I ask, how many people have asked for a raise? I saw a statistic not that long ago, and it's different from this. Please forgive me. But this is according to New York Magazine. But have you asked for a raise? It's amazing how many people never ask for a raise. I mean, it was astounding to me. Now, in my line of work, it's always there's been a negotiation. And so the raise is either it's negotiated, It's either at the end of the contract. See, for example, let me explain how it worked with me. I would come in and I'd sign an agreement, okay, that said, hey, you're going to work for this much money and you're going to do it for this long a period of time. And that's what you're going to make for the history of this deal unless we renegotiate a new one. For example, when I came to Springfield, I had contracts in Peoria. I'll even go back to Peoria. With Peoria, I had a contract, and it lasted. We worked on year-long contracts in Peoria. I came in, signed for a contract for 1 year. And then the second year, they wanted to do a multi-year one. I said, let's just do a 1 year, and like that. Okay, that's how it worked. And then when we syndicated, we had to get a brand new contract. But each time there was a new negotiation, there was a new time to ask for more money. And there was a time for them to say, no, we're not going to give you that much money. However, I will tell you a story about I doubt he'd say anything. But he might be upset. But, my partner at the time, Peoria, there was once a negotiation. We used to negotiate together when we first came in. And then after years and years, he decided he wanted to negotiate by himself. He's like, yeah, just let me negotiate on my own. And I was like, okay. So I went in and asked for an obscene amount of money. And they said, we can't do that much. And I said, well, I need something. They said, okay, we'll do this. And I said, well, I'll take this. And we went back and forth. We finally settled on a nice number. And I think it was, I don't know. This was 94. So it was probably around 50-something. Okay. And I don't, off the top of my head, my wife would remember. I don't remember. And so we finally settled on a nice number. We were syndicated at the time. Okay. And then he went into, and I don't even know the number he got, but I thought the story was so funny what he told me. I said, I don't even know how it came out. I think he asked me about mine. I said, yeah, I'm taken care of. And I said, how was yours? And he goes, oh, yeah, it was good. So I guess he went in and they said, all right, what are you looking for? And he said, I want this. And they said, all right, cool, done deal. And, they didn't even negotiate. They just gave him what he wanted, which, led me to conclude that, oh, yeah, you didn't ask high enough. Anybody out there, you know what I'm talking about? Like, when you go for a raise, when you're asking for a raise, you want to ask, don't you want to ask for at least a little more than they're ready to pay? No matter what, you want to ask for more. I think I'll give you a crazy one about that. When I went to New York, when I went to Syracuse, upstate New York, I asked for this obscene amount of money. All right. And they said, well, we can't do that in the first year, but we'll do that in the third. which is all inconsequential because I ended up getting out of the contract in New York after 1 year because I had to come home for some family stuff. But still, it was interesting. Like, I asked for an obscene amount. I thought, they're never going to pay over $100,000. All right? You know. And they didn't even bat an eyelash. They're like, okay. So I think it sort of happened to me, you know. But they did say, we can't pay that in the first year. You're going to have to settle for this. And by the way, even the price they settled on when I was in New York, the price they settled on was probably 20 grand than I thought I was going to make for the whole thing. Just to let you know how insane they paid out east. All right, and then when I came home, when I came to Springfield, I got, Tom Kuschick and I worked out this deal. I had to come home for family issues. And Tom and Jeff Murphy, who was our consultant at the time, he said, let's make this happen. So Jeff worked it out. And then got Tom and I together, and I said, and we didn't even discuss a contract. I just said I had to come home. And I said, we'll figure the contract out once I get there. So I came home. We started the morning disaster. And eventually we settled on this number. And and then we went and re-upped every couple of years or something. But anyway, enough about me. I want to, for you guys, one way to negotiate a higher salary, all right? This is actual tips for you, all right? This is not me giving you history. This is actual tips. So say you're going to ask for money, all right? One of the best ways to ask for a big raise and get one, and pay attention, is to start with a joke where you ask for an insane amount of money, like $1 million. It's a technique called anchoring, where you start with a higher number than you actually expect to get. Well, that like I said, I've always done that. Studies have found it even works if you got way over the top with it, because throwing out any high number makes your boss less likely to lowball you. Plus, it's a good icebreaker. It also works if you're negotiating your salary for a job interview. So stay with me. I think this is serious for people. So if you get accepted for a job and they ask you how much you want to make, joke. And say, oh, I'd like $1.36 million, you know. Just make some kind of crazy joke to where they're laughing. But that also makes them go, okay, well, we're going to we're just going to offer them what we can. Yeah, because listen, there are companies out there that want you as an employee. All right? And any of you listen, they want you as an employee. And no matter what, they're going to get you. But there's a number that they can't go over. And it has nothing to do with you or your skills or anything else. It just has to do with what the company can afford and what the company can't afford. All right? So they won't go over that number. It's not going to happen. So what you do is you go in and you joke. And this is, like I said, from New York Magazine. You go in and you joke for some obscene number you know you're never going to get, you know. Like if a company around Springfield, Illinois asks you what you wanted, nobody has $1 point some odd million, you know, for most jobs. And then they laugh and you get down to the real negotiation. However, it's a good icebreaker. It's a good icebreaker. And it could end up getting your salary higher. A study in 2011 had a bunch of people interview for the same job that paid just over $30,000. When people joked that they wanted $100,000, they came and said, I want $100,000. The average offer that they got was $35,385. When they didn't ask for the obscene amount of money, they averaged about $3,000 less. They only got $32,000. Wow, that's insane. So it ended up being, there's a difference there. So when you ask for the obscene amount of money as a joke, it loosens it up. Maybe some bosses appreciate the, you know, the balls it takes to ask for that. Whatever the case may be, studies have shown that they got $35,385, which was the most the company could pay. Like I said, there are numbers a company just can't go over. And when you negotiate, it's a dangerous game. Like, say they say, well, we're going to give you 39. And you say, I can't work for that. And they say, I'm sorry, that's the last number. And you go, well, you come back when you can get into the 40s and talk to me. And guess what? They just don't come back to you. Because they don't have it. But if they've got it, you made a good start by joking how much you want. So this is just every once in a while, I give something that I consider to be a really good tip. I'm taking this as a really good tip for you guys, all right? A really good tip. If you're going to negotiate for, and it is shocking because I see that there are people, and I have seen that there are people who never, ever ask for a raise. Which is really, it's really crazy. I mean, you got to ask. Just don't accept it. I mean, you know, if you know it's time to get ready, go to your boss and say, hey, listen, Mr. So, Mrs. So-and-so, Mr. So-and-so, whatever your boss is. I haven't had a raise, and I'd really like one. Can we negotiate one? And listen, sometimes maybe the company will say, well, not now, but I can do it next month, or we can do, you know. Let them know. Don't just accept, just sit back at your desk doing whatever you want, doing your job, working hard, and just expecting them to give you a raise. Don't have your company, don't make your company think that you feel lucky just to work there. Because when that happens, they'll take advantage of you. You've got to remind your company that they're lucky to have you there. And this isn't any job. I don't care if you're working in a cafeteria washing dishes. You've got to make that company happy saying, this guy's the best damn dishwasher we've ever had. Or this girl's the best damn whatever we've ever had. I don't care if you're working at a shell behind the counter. Never feel like you're just lucky to have the job. And never be afraid to ask for a raise. Listen, sometimes companies can't give it. And say, can we talk about a raise? And most bosses will say, listen, I can't do it now. The company's really overspending or whatever. But maybe I can do it in a month or two. And they'll be honest and say, I just can't do it this year. If you come back next year, blah, blah, blah. So I'm just, for all of you, this is just good advice. Don't be afraid to ask. And I mean this because I love you all for listening. And I think it's so cool you guys do that. And I'll let you know, just don't be afraid to ask. All right? Trust me, it's usually as uncomfortable as it is for you to ask, especially if you like the place you work at, as uncomfortable as it is for you to ask for a raise. If you like it, there's a good chance they like you. And it's just as uncomfortable for your boss. That conversation is just as uncomfortable for your boss. So he's going to want to make it as quick as possible. So don't sell yourself short. At least ask, all right? Okay, here we go. I love this study. There's an interesting study that say that people between the ages of 35 and 49... which most of us fit right in that time frame, right? People between the ages of 35 and 49 now spend more time on social media, well, my wife sure does, than people who are 34 and under. That's right. Same study also found that more women spend more time on social media than men. So women spend more time than men on social. I believe that. I do. I mean, listen, we're all narcissists. We love Facebook. Because it's a chance to feel important, to feel, you know. No matter what's happening in your life, it's a chance to get it out there and talk about yourselves or to feel important. The only thing I don't like is when people use the sickness of others to somehow make themselves more something. And I don't see it a lot, but because I find that sad. But, yeah, 35 to 49-year-old people spend more time on social media than people 34 and under. Which, I got to ask, does that mean that social media is uncool? I mean, you know, because a lot of young kids, to a lot of young kids, old is, you know, 29 or 30. Is 35 to 49 that old? I don't think it is. According to a new study by Nielsen, people 35 to 49 spend the most hours of any age group on social media. They spend an average of 7 hours a week. People 18 to 34 spend just over 6 hours a week. The same study found that women spend more time on social media than men. 25% of women's time online is on Facebook, Instagram, and the rest, compared to 19%. For men. So I'll tell you, you want to know, this is honest to God, you want to know the new thing on Facebook is older people. I mean, even older than that. I'm talking 55 to 70. There are a lot of people, this is first time users. There are a lot of people going on Facebook for the first time who are senior citizens. I mean, it's craziness. You got a bunch of, 65, 68-year-olds getting on for the first time. And for me, I mean, look, listen, I own a mold business, a mold removal business. So it's pretty damn good for me because I can now reach those people. But I'll tell you, it's interesting what's happening out there with social media. It's growing. Social media is growing older. And on young kids, if you guys know, I don't know if you guys notice this, but young kids don't use Facebook. The thought of my daughter going on Facebook, oh, it's disgusting to her. It's the last thing in the world she wants. Ooh, she goes, oh, Facebook, ugh. She got an Instagram. She got to use Instagram or Snapchat. I tell you, I don't even understand. Listen, I have Snapchat. And I have it, and I think it's Ray Lytle on Snapchat. R-A-Y-O-Y-T-L-E. But I don't even know how it works. I try to deal with Facebook, with Snapchat. I have no idea how it works. I am super confused on how Snapchat works. I really, really am. So, good luck if you use it, but I got no idea how it goes. I don't know. Is it pictures? Is it video? I don't even know. I know you can make your faces. I know you can put funny things on your face and blah, 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 you know. But I just don't understand Snapchat. All right, let's see. What do I do now? Let's do... Let's do Gwyneth Paltrow. Now, Gwyneth Paltrow has a website called Goop. Have you guys heard of Goop? Goop website is a website for women, and it's given tips to women. You know, for years now, about like she's come up with different facial cream stuff and different. She's come up with weird, like, she talked about steaming your vagina. Do you remember that? She was talking about steaming her vagina after children or something. I don't know. Now she's got, this is her new push, all right? Oh, my God. I tell you, this Gwyneth Paltrow, her and her vagina. She now has on her website an item called the Jade Egg. All right, stay with me on this. The Jade Egg. It's a stone. It's a stone that you, it's a polished stone, so it's really smooth. You warm it a little bit. You don't make it too warm, but you warm it. And then you put it inside you. You take the egg and you put it in your vagina. I just can't. There's no way around it. I just got to talk about it. All right. So you stick it up your vagina, and then you walk around with it and you hold it in. You know. You don't want the rock to slip out. You know. So if your vagina is too loose, it's just going to, you know, thump. But if you put it in your vagina, it'll help. Well, number one, it'll help improve your orgasms is what it claims. But it'll also give you vaginal muscle tone, hormonal balance, and feminine energy in general. So, according to Gwyneth Paltrow, you put this jade egg in your, what's the word I'm looking at, your pussy, and you walk around with it, and it gives you some type of, I don't know, I'm not sure what it does, but it gives your vaginal muscles. Nikki, you hearing this?
Is the food there?
It's a jade egg. From
the jade egg.
The jade egg, all right? And it's from Gwyneth Paltrow's website, Goop. And you stick the jade egg up your hoo-ha, and then you walk around. You do your
tightens everything.
Well, yeah, because you're holding it in.
Yeah.
And it's the new, it's craziness. People love the jade egg.
Mm-hmm.
It's
the same thing as Benoit balls.
Benoit balls. Is that bad? But does keeping Benoit balls in, is that what causes the...
to tighten up?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yeah, but this is just the one jade egg. You stick it in
It's heavier.
Yeah, you stick it in your vagina and then go for it.
But you really got to grip onto it.
It says people who use it are... they're finding that their orgasms are more powerful.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, you bet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. Yeah, so the jade egg is the thing that women are all about, the jade egg. Stick it in your hoo-ha.
Go about your day.
So our president-elect can grab it out. Just go ahead and stick it up there. Hey, I was just going to grab her pussy and an egg came out. What the hell? Is she a chicken? So, yeah.
Where's the golden egg?
This is what a bunch of women are. This is, I mean, this Paltrow, this is craziness. You know?
She's a little nutty.
Yeah, I mean, she remember she wanted anyone, she wanted everyone steaming their vaginas last year, remember? She was a big proponent of the vaginal steam.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's the jade egg.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. So make sure you put
the... Isn't she single?
Yeah. She was married to the guy from Coldplay.
Coldplay, yeah.
And then she broke up with him. I don't know. Maybe because she had an egg up there all the time. I don't know what happened.
And they had some kind of weird breakup where they're like together but not together.
Yeah. Does that freak you out like it freaks me out?
What?
Famous people do that. You know, when famous people break up, they are somehow still connected, you know. And I understand that they got kids and stuff, you know. But they're still like, let me ask you, what's the deal with Ben Affleck and his wife?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because, like, they were filing for divorce, but yet they're still living together.
Mm-hmm.
In the same house. And, you know, they got kids and... But I thought they were divorcing.
I don't know.
See, I don't know what's going on.
It's been a long time since I heard any of that.
What is with people like that? Are these people that they get married and then divorced and then married again and, you know.
Like the whole Brad, Brangelina.
Yeah, they're done. You know, I'm pretty sure.
But they were not married for many, many, many years. Oh, yeah. They got married like a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're going to get divorced.
And now they're divorcing. Yeah. by the way, Al is saying, I think that the egg should be used instead of an engagement ring.
he would say that.
Al says, and that way the guy can say, bitch, if this egg falls out, we ain't getting married.
You better keep that in there.
Yeah, needs to keep the egg inside. If you drop the egg, marriage is over.
Mm-hmm.
No more marriage.
Ding, 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 ding. What was that?
The jade egg. So that way, if you're married to this one, you know, you never know. You get a few kids in. Might need some scotch tape to keep that egg in or something.
Scotch tape.
Gotta make sure that egg is, taken care of. I don't know how elasticity of the vagina works. I really don't, you know.
I don't either.
I don't question. I'm just thankful for it. You know, men that aren't very
Kegel.
Yeah, men that aren't very endowed really appreciate Kegels and stuff, you know. Some of these really, maybe some of these really big guys, they don't, you know, they don't mind because, you know, when you've got a really large, you know.
Yeah, there's no clamping down.
Yeah, if you got a really large penis, you know, Kegels or not, everything's going to be a nice fit, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you got average penis length or, you know, you want to make sure that your female half is doing the Kegels and keeping everything, you know, nice and firmed up. I'll tell you that. I will not be discussing my penis size.
Oh, today?
No, never. Not just today, but I just want to say that, you know, I'm doing my wife, thankfully, maybe there is Kegel work being done. I don't know, but she's very fine in that area, you know. And thank God. I'm pretty sure she could carry the jade egg, if you know what I mean. I don't think it's going to be slipping.
She's going to kill you.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be slipping back out. All right, let's see what else I'm going to talk about here. I have so many things. You want to guess what city has the most roaches?
New York.
No, it's not New York. Yeah, this is crazy. I thought it would be too, but Bloomberg is reporting what cities have the highest amount of cockroaches.
Dallas
is on the list, but not
because of the warmer weather.
Not number one. So I'll give it to you. Let's see. Number 10 Lisa, what is this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. All right. Number 10 is Memphis.
Mm.
Memphis, Tennessee. This is the cities with the most cockroaches. Oh, Lord. So it's Memphis, Tennessee. Number 9, New York. Number 8, Dallas. Number 7, Los Angeles.
Really?
Yeah. Number 6, Raleigh, North Carolina.
I'm going to say something, but I'm not going to.
What are you going to say? Number 5 is Phoenix, Arizona. Number 4, Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And these are all warm cities, pretty much. Well, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Except for New York.
Number 3, Miami, Florida. Oh, definitely warm and
mm-hmm.
Very nice temperature. Number 2, Houston, Texas. And the number 1 city in America for cockroaches, New Orleans, Louisiana.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that something?
Wow.
They have the most cockroaches. So, I mean, I guess we're doing fine up here. Yeah, Chicago isn't even on the list, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You think Chicago would have roaches?
Thank God.
I guess it's too friggin' cold for roaches.
Yeah, I guess.
I'll tell you. Corpus Christi, Texas. When I lived in Texas,
mm-hmm.
Corpus Christi's right on the Gulf, and it's warm. I mean, it is a warm mm-hmm. city. It's warm in the winter. You know, like right now, we're freezing to death, you know. I don't know specifically the temperature. I guess it's probably around 70.
Wow.
You know. It seemed to be 70 something. It seemed to be about 70 something year round.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Except it does get hot in the summer.
Oh.
They also have a list of these top 10 cities with mice. All right.
I bet you these are colder states.
You want to guess what number one?
Corn Belt state.
You want to guess what number one is?
For mice.
For mice.
Kansas City.
No. It's on the list, though. It's a good guess.
Cleveland.
Not even on the list.
Detroit?
No. There's only 2 cities made both lists, and that was New York City and Memphis, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So number 10 with the cities with most mice is the same a city that came in 10th on cockroaches. It's Memphis, Tennessee.
Mm. Not to move there.
Number 9, Mile High Mice, is Denver, Colorado.
Really?
It seems like far for mice to travel.
Yeah.
They travel up the mountains like that?
Uh-huh.
I don't know why I would think that would be a, you know.
Hiking mice.
Yeah, I'm sure that mice are just everywhere, but it does seem like at some point they'd have to get up the mountain, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like they traveled there. Number 8 is Portland, Oregon.
Really?
Yeah. It doesn't seem like there'd be a bunch of mice there.
Well, they like water.
Number 7 is Cincinnati.
Nice clothes.
Or Cincinnati.
What?
Like some white trash or some, I mean, I shouldn't say that, but some trash or some Southerners would call it Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
Yeah, I'm just going over to Cincinnati. You never heard that? It's like people who mm-hmm. It's like people who call Missouri Missouri.
Yeah.
It's the same type of person.
There's usually people from there.
Yeah, it's not trash. I guess it's just people, you know, country folk.
Mm-hmm.
I'm heading down to Missouri, get some fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
Heading over to Cincinnati. Go watch a ball game. And you never know what game they're freaking talking about. They usually mean baseball, but just going to go watch a ball game. What? Which one? Yeah, there's, you know, how many? There's like five different balls. Which one are you watching? You know?
Right.
Baseball, football, basketball, a tennis ball. I don't know. What the hell game are you watching? Golf ball? What? Let's see. Six is Kansas City, as you predicted.
Mm-hmm.
Five is Milwaukee.
Hmm.
Four is District of Columbia. It's Washington, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Three is New York. See, now I thought New York had rats, but they got to be number one in rats. But for mice, they're number three. Number two is Boston. And the number one city with the most mice is Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Really?
Yeah, most mice.
Hmm.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. So I was thinking, because they like to live in the fields.
Right.
And then they come in during harvest. To the towns and the houses and stuff.
And there's no fields around. I mean, there is no fields around Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Because, you know, in Chatham, where I live, they there was a mice problem in Chatham.
Mm-hmm.
At one years ago. Because they. This is. I mean, when I first moved to the area, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When I first moved. There was a field. There were fields, okay, up and down Route 4. And since I've come here, all right, since I've come here, I have seen several, and I mean several, subdivisions and stuff just pop up. All right.
Yeah.
And I've built a couple houses here and I've lived in different places. And it's amazing. Like, for example, I can name five subdivisions in Chatham. Okay. Five subdivisions that were cornfields when when I first moved here. And they're now subdivisions. So all those mice that were in the field, they had to go somewhere.
Yeah.
And we lived over at a we lived in Oak Brook. Or Oak Park, whatever it's called, you know. We lived over there, and man, I'm telling you, we were lucky. The houses we built, we were very lucky. We didn't have any mice. We had a cat though, at the second one. In fact, we had cats at we had cats at both houses. No wonder we didn't have mice. But I had neighbors that had just built their homes. All right, brand new built homes, and they're talking to me. And they're going, "Man, I got freaking mice." And I'm like, "What?" They go, "Yeah, they're coming in through the garage." And I'm like, "How do you have mice?" They're like, "I don't know. I've got them."
They also climb the plumbing.
Yeah, yeah. But there were in this subdivision, and it's not just there, it's over in Fox Creek and that subdivision over there, they have mice. And it's because it's not that they're dirty people or not, there's nothing like that. It's
you
just
took over their habitat.
Yeah, it's they built you built a subdivision over their habitat. The mice are going to get in. They're used to it.
Right.
They're used to being there.
And they
got
to survive somehow.
Yeah. So these in their crawl spaces and you know, with Elbros, our mold company, I mean, my brother's always going into these crawl spaces where mice are just, you know, have set up shop. He's constantly going into mice shit and everything. You know, he's got to go through that all the time. But in Chatham, it's a problem in Chatham. And listen, mice aren't bad. They don't, you know.
They chew up everything.
Yeah, except they
were wiring.
Yeah, except they chew. Yeah. So, but I know it's a problem in Chatham.
Mm-hmm.
But I will. I swear to God, if you have a cat, you'll never see a mouse.
They'll kill it right away.
Yeah, you'll never. I mean, we had a cat when we moved into our first home in Chatham. Mm-hmm. My cat Bowser was alive.
Mm-hmm.
We never.
Oh, Bowser.
Never. And then when Bowser passed away, we didn't have a cat. You know, Bowser stayed with us till we went over to our house on Sequoia. And then we mm-hmm. sold that. We sold that in 2006, maybe 2005, 2006. And then we didn't have a cat. And we rented a house over there.
Mm-hmm.
And we got mice.
Yeah.
And then finally I said, oh, screw this. I'm getting a cat.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the guy we were renting the house from, he said, I don't want any cats. This is a true story. He goes, I don't want any cats. Yeah. I lived in this house, and one night I was doing my show. I was doing the Breaking Curfew show, you know, and I saw a freaking mouse.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, hell no. And then
right.
I went into my daughter's bedroom, and there was a hole in her closet
mm-hmm.
where the mice were chewing their way in.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, F this. There's no way. My poor daughter's sleeping, and these mice are going to. There's no way.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and got a cat.
Yeah.
And
it works every time.
All the mice, well, first they were killed.
Mm-hmm.
And then they disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And because mice, they're not stupid. When they know there's a cat there, they're not going to come in. They're like, screw this, I'm going to go to the next house.
Right.
All the mice cleared up.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guy who owned the house, he came in one day and he saw the cat and he freaked out.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm evicting you if you don't get rid of this cat. And I'm like, listen, this is true. I go, your house is littered with mice. I said, there's freaking mice all over this. I said, come here. And I said, come here. And I bring him in. I said, look at this. And I showed him a hole in my daughter's closet. I said, the mice are chewing their way in.
Uh-huh.
And I said, look at this. This is the home you know. So we got in this big argument. I mean, it was a big argument.
Yeah.
I said, you get rid of that effing, I don't want to. I mean, it was insane.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't want to live in here. I said, what the hell? I said, there's one cat.
The mice are going to do more damage.
I said, this cat is here for one reason. Well, I'm allergic to cats. I said, well, it's fucking good you don't live here. Oh,
right.
My God. That's all I needed to say. You prepare your things, and you get out of this house. And I go, you can't throw me out. I said, I got a freaking lease. Oh, my God, it was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we eventually got him to pay us money to leave. I mean, it turned out all right, but
yeah,
it was something. It was all over a cat that was there to catch mice.
Crazy.
Then we fell in love with the damn cat, you know. It's still around.
Yeah.
The cat is still around. So, yeah, it's crazy. But there's mice in Chatham.
Yep.
So it's not a sign of dirtiness. It's just a sign of where the place, you know, was built.
They come in seeking water.
Yeah. Scientists have figured out why drinking coffee makes you live longer.
Hmm.
That's right. Drinking coffee advances your age. So people who don't drink coffee, I got news for you. I got some.
I'm going to die.
Do you not drink coffee?
Oh, God, no.
Really?
Mm.
You know what? This is a true story. I think I've told this before, but when I was doing mornings and waking up every day, to do the morning disaster, which, by the way, I sort of miss waking up early.
Oh, you're crazy.
No, I really do. I miss it. This is why I'm getting up early every day.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought I would, because I haven't for 10 years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I never thought I'd miss it. But I do. I miss getting up early, and I miss, you know. I don't know. Sometimes I just miss it.
Yeah.
Well, part of the reason is my wife makes this. Oh, I guess, I mean, I did mornings, what, 08, 09, but still.
Mm-hmm.
My wife, in 2007, is the first time I had a cup of coffee. My wife made her homemade concoction of mocha. And I drank it, and it was so good. I've drank it every day since then.
Excuse me.
Scientists have found that people who drink coffee live longer. None of them have ever been able to figure out why. Well, now, now they know. Scientists at Stanford University just wrapped up a study on the link between coffee and longevity. And they think they have the answer. As we get older, one of the biggest things that affects our health is inflammation. All right? Mm-hmm. It brings on the effect of aging. It hurts our overall health. And it leads to things like Alzheimer's, heart attacks, and high blood pressure. But the chemical compounds in coffee, they're finding, actually helps the body protect against inflammation. So if you if you drink coffee every day, it can make a huge difference in your health the older you get. So it's coffee. Who'd have thought? Mm. I mean, who would have thought?
Is tea the same way?
I'm sorry, what?
I said, I wonder if tea is the same way.
It is. It's the inflammation and the coffee somehow. And they have anti-inflammatory drugs. But the coffee's not as invasive because those anti-inflammatory drugs, they hurt your kidneys. They hurt, you know, there's different body parts that it affects.
Right.
The coffee doesn't. The coffee doesn't bother anything else. It naturally prevents inflammation. And they think that's why people who drink coffee live longer. So, if you don't drink coffee,
better start.
And you're afraid of getting older, well, start drinking some coffee.
That won't be me. I can't tolerate
it. I wish I could drink that black coffee. Yeah. I just, oh, the taste is just, ugh.
Dirt water.
Yeah. Now, the coffee, I'm drinking coffee right now. And it is delicious. Oh, Nikki, it's delicious.
Gross.
Maybe you want to take a jade egg and insert it in my ass. Gonna stick a jade egg up there. Oh, by the way, the jade eggs did say it's not for anal use. It could get stuck.
Can you imagine?
I don't know why.
Get that out.
Why would it get stuck? I don't even want to know.
Because of the muscles.
But the vagina's just right.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick a jade egg up my boo-ah. I'm going to get you a jade egg just to use, Nikki.
Thanks.
I'll
put it in my little toy collection.
Yeah, I'm not going to pay for one. I'm just going to I'm just going to go to the beach and grab a dirty one for you.
That way you find jade eggs on the beach.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, I think that's how it works. I don't know. Oh well. So there you go. We learned about the jade egg today. Very interesting. Do I have time? I don't know if I have time to do anything else. I do know. I'll end with this. People, if you are happy that we're making America great again, or that we're about to make America great again, although it's a little trouble, I will say this, This is not political. All right, I'm not being political at all. But for those of you who are somehow get butt hurt over politics. But, you know, Trump is getting sworn in. A lot of followers. The president of the United States, he should have a lot of followers. But they have, you might want to do this because I know you're looking for, you know, you're on a cock hunt. You with your plenty of fish and everything, right?
Oh, yeah.
And if TJ, I know you're listening.
What's that have to do with this?
TJ, you're going to want to know this site. You're going to want to know this site because if you are a Donald Trump supporter who couldn't even think of dating someone who does not share your unbridled passion for Donald Trump, then you need to log in to TrumpSingles.com.
Oh, no.
Yep.
They're going to procreate.
It started last summer, and it's still growing strong with 20,000 members and growing. Yep. So if you're looking for Trump pussy or some Trump cock, you need to get into TrumpSingles.com.
Yeah, I won't be going to that.
But here's the deal. When it first opened, it charged $5 a month.
Uh-huh.
Now it wants to charge $19.95. Who wants to pay? Do you have to pay for plenty of fish?
Only if you upgrade.
What does that mean?
You get special privileges.
Oh, for God's sake. Why do you do this to yourself?
I'm not paying for it.
I mean, why would you?
I do it free.
I can't believe you people with these websites. I just don't get it.
Well, am I supposed to go to a bar and meet somebody?
No, just in everyday life, just meet someone. I don't get it.
I don't understand that.
I mean, maybe it's just because I'm married. Maybe married people see it differently. But if I was single, I don't know. I think I could find someone without going on a dating site.
Oh.
You know?
When you get into your 40s, it gets a little more difficult.
Well, I'm there, but I don't think I would have to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I just think I'd find somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, I don't know. Maybe it's my personality. Oh, I've always had a personality.
It doesn't work that way.
When I was young, if I found someone that I was attracted to, I just went up to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what, would you like to get a drink? And if they said no, well, I didn't know him anyway, so it wasn't going to hurt me.
Right.
But if they said yes, you know, who knew what could happen?
Craziness.
I told you, I met my wife at a bar in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she wasn't going to the bar, but hell, I was there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She was just dropping somebody off. But still, that is a bar. That technically is a bar. So people that say,
mm-hmm.
when you meet someone in a bar, it doesn't last. Well, it does, yeah, if you find the right mm-hmm. person in the right way. So I'm saying, if I was a single guy again, I just think in everyday life, I'd come across somebody who was single. And there's ways to know if someone's single. You look for a ring, you know, and you just, you know. I just think I go to people and say, hey, you know, excuse me, but would you like to get a cup of coffee? Or would you like to get a drink? Or would you want to get lunch? Or you want to go somewhere? Whatever, you know.
I'm the girl. I shouldn't have to do that.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess with a girl, it's harder. But oh well. I mean, maybe when girls go to, let me ask you something. If you agree to go out with somebody on these websites that you're on, these dating websites,
mm-hmm.
are they going to score?
No.
Is there a good chance, though?
No.
So there's no chance. There's no chance they'll even get any?
Not for a while.
Oh, Jesus. Well, that just doesn't sound fun at all. I mean, there's no fun there.
That's just who I am now.
Well, I think, I don't know, maybe because I'm married and I do plan on being married the rest of my life.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if she feels the same way, but I think she does, you know.
Yeah.
But I would like to think if I was single that I would just find people. I run into people. Don't you run into people every day who are single?
No.
Really?
Mm-mm.
I'm telling you, all the time, I run into people who, I mean, when I was coaching softball, there were several women who were unmarried that had daughters playing. When I, if I go, what was the last place I went? Oh, I you know what? I had to go to a this is funny. I went to a 911 dispatcher test. Okay. I was thinking of getting into dispatch, you know. So I had to take these tests. So I went to the county, and a couple of the women that showed up were single. And you know, and I'm not as a married guy, I'm not driving around wondering who I'd ask, but I'm just saying that I recognized single people.
Right.
And I saw them. I saw yesterday, I was at lunch somewhere. I saw single girls eating lunch together. I mean, I see single people all the time. And I saw single guys, and I don't know. Maybe your eyes are more open when you're married, but it just seems that single people are everywhere. But if you're a conservative or a Trump supporter,
there you go.
Al says, "Oh my God, dude, TrumpSingles.com. You know there are some crazy bitches on there." And he says, "Hey, them crazy ones are good in bed, though, if you know what I mean." Listen, Al, you're damn right. There is nothing. I mean it. There's nothing sexually like a crazy woman. I'm talking them big-eyed, crazy, oh my God. They got those big, crazy eyes. There's nothing they won't do in bed.
Oh, God.
Nothing. Nikki, I mean it. You know, there are girls. I'm sure you know these girls at those parties you went to. There are girls with big, these crazy girls. You know who I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, well, there's a couple.
They're the ones that do all kinds of stuff. They're swinging in three ways and butt stuff and
Jade egg.
And they put three jade eggs in. No, I'm serious. There are, you guys know what I'm talking about. Like, I've been married for a long time. I've been married since my early 20s. And I was fortunate. I met the love of my life when I was very young. But during my marriage, which is as close as my wife and I are, as wonderful as my life has been, every once in a while, I will think to myself, oh, man. If I could just get a crazy girl one more time.
Oh, God.
Just one crazy girl. I just want one more crazy one. Just one more.
Oh, no.
Just one more before I die. Just a crazy one. Because they're that good.
Good Lord.
And you got to know. You have to know. When you hook up with a... when you hook up with a crazy girl, you've got to know the next day and the days and subsequent days after that, it does get crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no one marries a crazy girl.
Mm-mm.
Because it's, you know, well, it's just not smart. But I'm saying, but in bed, holy, you know, they're so uninhibited. And so, because a lot of times they're talking to themselves. I mean, they're crazy. You know, but they will, they are. The stuff that, oh my God, the stuff they do is unbelievable. You can't be around them that long because, you know, it's too much.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, those crazy girls. Woo! I'm just and I'm just saying, I'm a married guy, but every once in a while, and there's no particular woman or anything. Every once in a while, you think, boy, just one night with a crazy woman. Now, as a married guy, all right. As a married guy, I could never do it. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I could never go through it because I'll tell you what. A married woman, I mean, a married guy with a crazy girl, oh, you're begging for problems.
Yeah.
You guys who are married, never cheat with a crazy girl. Because you're going to get busted, trust me.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you shouldn't cheat with anybody. Don't, you know. I want to make that very clear. I want to make that very clear before my wife listens to this and accuses me of anything.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make it very clear. Don't cheat.
Right.
But if you were, don't do it with a crazy girl. Don't do it with a crazy, because they're crazy.
Yeah.
And it'll turn out bad.
Yes.
Because those crazy girls are the ones who, like, you know, they show up somewhere.
Hell yeah.
And, I mean, they're crazy.
Trying to drive you over with their pickup truck.
I've had friends. Oh yeah. Well, obviously that woman that I hooked up with in Texas. You know, mm-hmm. the one that was the wedding dress story.
Mm-hmm.
Oh well, she obviously was a crazy. You know.
Mm-hmm.
She obviously was a crazy girl.
Yep.
I mean, obvious. And, you know, crazy. But I know people who dated crazy girls, which I never did. I never dated a crazy girl, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I got friends that did, and boy, the stories. Oh. I told you the story about Lamb hooking up with this crazy girl and dating her.
Mm-mm.
Oh, yeah, and it turned out we were doing a story in the morning about some girl who went to a Whataburger, and she... it was crazy. She went to a Whataburger and
mm-hmm.
took her clothes off and was threatening people and had, like, I mean, she...
oh, my goodness.
And Lamb was dating her. She was a crazy girl.
Yeah.
And... from what he said, she was amazing in bed.
Mm-hmm.
So, just to let you know, crazy girls are great in bed, but man, you just can't spend more than one night with them.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, there you go. I guess I'll end the show with TrumpSingles.com, where like-minded people can get together. TrumpSingles.com. Sometimes it's tough to date when you're a Trump supporter. So they're making it easy. This is the quote from the founder. Sometimes it's tough to date when you're a Trump supporter, so we're making it easier to find each other who are like-minded and have the same political views. We have our views, and when we stick to them, or when we stick to them and we're proud of them, we're not willing to give up on them just to date somebody. It's TrumpSingles.com. So there you go. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. I do have... more stuff to get to tomorrow to end up the week. I want to thank everybody for listening. Blah, 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 blah. This has been The Morning Disaster. So long, everybody.
Goodbye.